Hello and welcome to Season 2 of Design in Transition podcast. Design in Transition is a podcast about designing for systems level change toward more sustainable and equitable futures. We are Sofia Bosch Gomez,
Marisol Ortega,
Nandini Nair,
Erica Dorn,
Alex Polzin,
Silvana Juri.
We have recorded and produced this season from Uruguay, Mexico, New Zealand, Pittsburgh, and Portland in the United States.
We are doctoral researchers and graduate students in transition design at Carnegie Mellon University. This project is based out of and made possible by the School of Design at CMU.
We weave together conversations with scholars, designers, thinkers, tinkerers from many disciplines, places, and lived experiences to embody and disperse ideas about design and designing.
This is a bilingual audio tapestry of interviews and commentaries in Spanish and English, recognizing and celebrating cultural specificity and honoring the diversity of ways people sense and make worlds.
So make sure to listen for recaps in the other language included at the end of each episode. Subscribe to our podcast to be notified of the release of new episodes every 2 weeks. If you enjoy it, spread the word. And que viva la transición.
Bienvenidas y bienvenidos a la segunda temporada del podcast Diseño en Transición. Diseño en Transición es un podcast sobre diseñar para cambios sistémicos que nos lleve hacia futuros sostenibles y equitativos. Somos Sofía Bosch Gómez,
Marisol Ortega,
Nandini Nair,
Erica Dorn,
Alex Polzin,
Silvana Juri.
Grabamos y producimos este podcast desde Uruguay, México, Nueva Zelanda, Pittsburgh y Portland en los Estados Unidos. Somos investigadores de doctorado y estudiantes de posgrado en diseño para las transiciones en la Universidad Carnegie Mellon.
Este es un proyecto apoyado por la Escuela de Diseño de esta universidad. Tejemos conversaciones con académicas y académicos, diseñadoras y diseñadores, pensadoras y pensadores, hacedoras y hacedores de diferentes disciplinas, lugares y vivencias para expresar y divulgar ideas sobre el diseño y el diseñar.
Este es un tapiz de audios bilingüe, de entrevistas y comentarios en español e inglés, que reconoce y celebra la especificidad cultural, honrando la diversidad en que las personas le dan sentido y hacen mundos.
Así que asegúrense de escuchar el resumen de En la otra lengua que se incluye al final de cada episodio. Suscríbete al podcast para recibir notificaciones quincenales sobre el lanzamiento de nuevos episodios. Y si lo disfrutas, corre la voz. ¡Que viva la transición!
First episode of the season, we're kicking off with a different format where the contents are not bilingual as they usually are. The whole team interviewed Terry Irwin and Gideon Kossoff, two of the masterminds behind transition design. Our Spanish speakers will be able to access a transcript of this full interview. But to do a full circle, this second season will end with a full Spanish episode with us reflecting on transition design with Jorge Camacho, where a transcript will also be made available for our English speakers. Este primer episodio de la segunda temporada tiene un formato diferente al tradicional formato bilingüe. En este caso, la entrevista será 100% en inglés. Así que invitamos a los hispanohablantes que accedan a la transcripción en español de la entrevista completa. Sin embargo, la temporada cerrará el círculo con un episodio totalmente en español donde dialogaremos sobre Transition Design con Jorge Camacho.
Welcome everyone to a second season of the Transition Design podcast. We're super excited that you are listening to us. And also very excited because we have a very special episode for today. From the feedback that we got from the previous season, we heard that you wanted to hear more from us, what we're doing, what is transition design, where we're headed. Today we have two very special guests, Terry Irwin and Gideon Kossoff, who have created that foundation of the transition design program and a lot of the theory behind transition design, as well as all of our co-hosts from the podcast, Erica Dorn, Alex Polzin, who is a new acquisition Silvana Huri and Sophia Bosch. So we're super excited to be here and to have you all. And today's episode, we're going to switch the dynamics a bit, in which we are going to have more of a roundtable discussion about, well, first, what is transition design as a discipline, or within the design as a discipline, and talk a bit about the history and describe how it's being practiced by PhDs in the transition design program at CMU, but then also in other communities, so we can all together better understand how the approach is working out in the world, and how to join the ecosystem if you want to, which we'll be more than happy if you do. So I think to kick us off, maybe Terry and Gideon, you can do a brief introduction of yourselves, and then tell us, what is transition design for you, and how would you describe it today?
Well, I can begin. My name is Terry Irwin. I'm a professor in the School of Design at Carnegie Mellon University, and one of the co-originators of transition design there at the School of Design. I've been a designer for over 40 years. I worked in the practice for many decades, but always taught at the university level. And then in 2009, I became a full-time academic. Gideon and I have been living in Scotland, working on our doctoral research up there. And the thinking that we were doing right after Schumacher College, I believe, paved the way for a renewed focus on what it means to address systems problems, or what the profession often calls wicked problems, in a systemic way. And I, for many years, by that time, I had left my company, Meta Design, that I ran for many years, and I had become disillusioned with what I saw as design's role in exacerbating or even creating wicked problems. And so I was really looking for a way for design to contribute to solutions, not make problems worse. And so when we arrived at Carnegie Mellon, my focus was in how to integrate design for society and the environment into the heart of curricula. But Gideon, in his doctoral thesis, had proposed transition design as an area of design focus. And I'll let him talk a bit more about that. I think transition design today, I would emphasize it's still an emergent area of study, research, and hopefully practice. I often remind people that service design is now about 30 years old. And it began as a conversation among design practitioners in many places around this country and in Europe, who were trying to look for a more effective approach to designing services and not focusing only on artifacts. And it really took 30 years, or maybe 25, for that conversation to coalesce into a codified approach with agreed upon tools and methodologies. So in parallel, I think transition design is still in its early days. We began by trying to ask what designers needed to be reading about, thinking about, and what new postures they needed to adopt in order to work on complex wicked problems that can't be solved from within any single group of people or any single discipline. So how did we have to change to be able to join the transdisciplinary teams of people that it would require to work on complex problems? So that's how we began. I think today we're starting to see an applied approach coalesce, and we intentionally don't call it a process because we don't think you can develop a templatized recipe or process for addressing complex wicked problems, because they will always manifest in place and culture specific ways. So I think it's more about what are the questions that we need to be asking in order to frame wicked problems in radically large spatio-temporal contexts. And there are many, many existing tools and methodologies that can be used to design interventions or help frame these problems in a better way. So maybe I'll leave it there and hand it off to Gideon.
Thanks. My name is Gideon Kossoff. I also teach in the School of Design at Carnegie Mellon University. So I had spent many years in what I sometimes describe as kind of marginal or below the radar educational institutions of various kinds, and various kinds of grassroots green groups. And they were differently inclined. Like Schumacher College in particular, was exploring the kind of emerging ecological worldview. I was also spent time at the Institute for Social Ecology in Vermont, which was inspired by Murray Bookchin, really, and exploring the connection between the ecological crisis and the social crisis. I came to design, I think, as a way of shaping and beginning to think about how to apply or realize that whole kind of mélange of ideas in the world and to give it some practical application. And so my research was about really what would it mean to live in a society at the level of everyday life if it were organized according to an ecological worldview. So that's where I began, really, and that's kind of where we began to think about transition design. How do we transition towards society, a way of organizing human affairs that was informed by, as I said, emerging, or what we at the moment understand as an emerging ecological worldview. How would it incorporate core principles like diversity, like non-hierarchical organization or self-organization, like relationality, mutualism, all of this kind of swirl of ideas? How does that become the basis for a vision of a new kind of society and a critique of contemporary society? And how can it inform the tools and approaches you use to make the transition from one to the other? Those were the kinds of questions I was asking, I'm still asking. One thing that I think particularly marks transition design out from other approaches is the way we very explicitly try to expand the context within which contemporary problems are understood. So we not only look to the present at multiple levels of scale, if you like, but to the past. What are the origins of contemporary problems? What are their historical origins and the future? I think we've begun to think about much more about to try and relate future thinking or futurism, if you like, to the past and look to the past to try and understand where it is we're going to transition into in the future.
Thanks. Thanks for sharing this and contextualizing through your stories in a way, your background, and the key questions that you've been asking yourselves for many years and until today, to give it a base to start understanding what transition design is and how it could be understood today. But one question that we wanted to ask you both, and it's something that we touch upon in this podcast, as kind of a key question that we keep reminding ourselves, is how has transition design transitioned itself over the past, let's say, 6 to 7 years since it became a bit more popular for the rest of the world, even though you've been working on it for a while, and also considering that in itself, as you mentioned, Terry, it is emergent and it's constantly changing, because that's the nature, also that's kind of one of its pillars. But that's one question that we wanted to ask you. From your perspective, have you seen it transition so far?
Yeah, I mean, from my point of view, Gideon, I'm sure we'll have a slightly different answer. I think it has transitioned, because in the beginning, we were working with the idea of the need for societies and communities to transition over long periods of time toward more sustainable futures. And I think we were both inspired by having been living in Totnes, England, when Rob Hopkins, the founder of the Transition Town Movement, held the first meeting there. So this idea of the need or the imperative to transition to other ways of living on the planet, more appropriate ways of living on the planet, have been with us. I think my starting point, I think Gideon's as well, was first off, what new knowledge and skill sets do designers need to have in order to contribute to transition or to ignite systems level change and address wicked problems? So in the beginning, I think it was much more about what are the ideas, concepts, and bodies of thought that we can leverage from outside the design disciplines and bring them to the study of design that will help people think differently about design as a profession and their role in contributing to this much bigger challenge of transition. You know, we said we need new visions of a future that is sustainable and equitable and desirable. We need to understand theories of change about how systems work so that we can work within systems to ignite systems level change. But a really important one was, we have always argued that we need new mindsets and postures in order to do this work. So it involves a certain amount of self-reflection and changing our posture from being experts who impose solutions on a system to coming to a system in a posture of service. And all of that implies new ways of designing. I feel like we've transitioned in the past few years to an emerging, more applied approach in which we're trying to develop tools to teach systems thinking,
to shift the way we understand systems and how they operate to become tacit knowledge, and develop these tools for teaching as the basis for tools that can be used in the field on actual projects. And that is still in an emerging form, but I think we're both quite excited about that.
I think I would say the first year or two was, in a way, we were becoming much clearer and more emphatic that transition design was about systems level change. And I think we were trying to grapple with the implications of that idea. And I think Cameron was particularly influential here in that, in the argument that, a lot of the reason that a lot of eco design has hasn't been as successful as it might, or a lot of design for sustainability, is because it hasn't had this systemic perspective. And I think that was certainly a lot of the discussion right at the beginning. And we were, as Terry said, the framework emerged after a long, slightly animated discussion with Cameron, Terry, and I. And it became, for some time, we were just kind of gathering, I think, on reflection, we were kind of gathering multiple different systems approaches, or multiple different approaches that saw the world through a systems lens. We came to know those quite well, and I think as a result of that, in the last year or two, as Terry said, that was kind of those kind of miscellaneous systems approaches crystallized into a much more clear applied transition approach. And so now that initial framework that we were working with, we've kind of placed it in the background a little bit, and I think we're focusing much, we've foregrounded this applied approach, which focuses in, I think, quite a logical way on the present, the past, the future, the transition between the present to the future, and what we can do, might do in the present to kind of initiate that transition.
Something that I was thinking as you were talking, as you were both talking about this, the transitions that transition design has been going through, I was thinking that you were talking about how transition design cannot be procedural, and it's more of an approach, more of a way to guide this aspects of mindset and posture to be able to come up with these new ways of designing. And something that we've been talking about amongst ourselves is sometimes it's difficult to define what transition design is, and even more difficult what a transition designer does, and who are we if we can consider ourselves transition designers. So if you were to describe, I mean, I'm not going to say like the quintessential transition designer, but some characteristics maybe that are desirable for a transition designer in terms of, as you said, like maybe you cover a bit mindset and posture, but maybe in terms of skills or approaches, the way, maybe some little seeds of the future that you've seen on the PhDs as signs that those should be part of what a transition designer should be, what would those be?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think for me, one of the most important skills is being able to toggle between the micro view, or your own area of expertise and specialty, and the big picture, and understanding both spatially and temporally how what you're doing at any given time can contribute to the whole, and the need for that whole to be transitioning toward a future that's sustainable, equitable, and desirable. And like we often say to the students, we are all going to have to master something, because it's what we can bring to the whole in service to jump-starting transitions. But we need a hyper-awareness as well, that we know a lot about a very little, and that it will have to be a dance. So you have to know when to lead and when to follow, and you'll be following much more than you'll be leading. And I think deferring to the actors in the system and understanding where and how you can contribute your expertise, and then when to defer, is enormous But I still myself struggle with every day trying to get better at connecting the dots. You know, what am I doing that is going to impede our ability to transition or that is actually contributing to it? And learning to flex your muscles to think in long horizons of time and try and anticipate the ripples of consequence that always radiate out from anything we design. So for us, if we're designers, what we're designing, but we have many other key roles within transition design that will be absolutely vital, like policy and legal interventions need expertise from that area. Historians have a huge role to play. Anthropologists, sociologists. So each of these areas of expertise that we think are vital to igniting transitions or addressing wicked problems, because we argue that addressing wicked problems is a strategy for transition. How do we participate in that rich, complex dance with these other experts while still working with the actors in the system who are being affected by a wicked problem? That calls for a different kind of awareness, I think.
It sounds like you're talking about a mix between capabilities and sensibilities.
Yeah, that really resonates for me very much. What do you think, Dan?
Yeah, what do you mean by capabilities, Marisol?
Well, more of those skills in math and history, like the knowledge plus the wisdom of it, Silvana might say. But then I feel like, and maybe you can talk a bit about that, Silvana, but I feel like this in between, this capability is more of a skill, and then sensibilities of this awareness, this know when to listen, know when to act.
Yeah, I think that's quite a good summary. I mean, I know that the capabilities argument is out there, and but I haven't heard it framed in that way, combined capabilities and sensibilities.
We're so conditioned to believe we have to make something right away, we have to rush to a solution right away, and then on to the next thing. And I think part of that sensibility is knowing that there will have to be pauses trying to understand how a system is responding from interventions.
Thanks for those reflections. I would add, based on what we were discussing before, because my work touches upon wisdom, and in a way, I'm seeing transition design as a wise practice. And I say this because I think what we're talking about is that it requires a certain sagacity to understand when to act, when not to act, and how to balance all these different forces about trying to make or create, also sometimes needing to get or allow things to get destroyed. And so it's like a constant or ongoing balancing act between kind of extremes, but that's also how many systems work. That's the normal dynamics. And I think it's useful for us to understand that we're, as you said, Terry, in this constant dance. And that requires a completely different approach to practice. It's a completely different paradigm from which we work as designers, which is not so common in reality.
This is really a great moment to segue a bit. We're so honored to be here with you, Terry. We're also there's five of us bringing together this podcast. We're all working on PhDs, and we just heard from Solana and a bit about the work around WISE. Well, very little. We'd love to hear more, but about WISE food systems and wisdom, the wisdom that's in design. And I think at this, to hear each of us is looking to improve the various contexts that we work within, and using design as approach to create new conditions that bring about transition towards more just and equitable futures. And I think you mentioned, you know, dislodging systems, and this question of destruction of systems has come up, but also the need for more interdisciplinary teams. So, Sophia, given that your work involves policy and government, maybe we could hear from you about how you see work inside of government being an important aspect of transition design.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Erica. So, yes, and what Terry was mentioning on dismantling or changing institutions from within, it's kind of a titanic task, and where I see much, much potential for transition designers, however we want to sort of define them at the moment, to work. It's a really rich space, right? Because it sort of entails and requires many of the things that have been already mentioned. So new sets of skills, new mindsets, other aims, right? Sort of pivoting and thinking in long-term futures, but at the same time, backcasting and sort of understanding how we do that and apply that in the present. It requires sort of managing many, many stakeholders and power relationships at the same time. So I think it's sort of like this great ground to explore in a transition design framework or in a transition design approach, definitely. And one of the things that I really think connects to that is the way that we are skilling new designers, right? So emergent designers, what are the tools that are given? How are the sort of framings and mindsets that they're developing in design schools, how are we allowing for that to be implemented and to be developed later on in some of these very complex spaces?
Alex, maybe you can add on to that, and then we can hear, you know, Terry and Gideon's response. But as a first year in the PhD program, what are you learning about what transition design is that maybe is different from what you thought it was prior to coming into the program? And what kind of questions do you have for Terry and Gideon that maybe have been unanswered so far?
Thanks, Erica. Appreciate your questions. And so I think we're one and a half weeks from the end of the semester. And so I'm sure that my answer to your first question will be different once I've had a couple of weeks to step outside of that and reflect back on the past year. Because it has been quite the journey working from home for the past year. And I have really been impressed with how different it is than I was aware of looking from the outside beforehand. So my interests and my focus are very much at the intersection of, like, what is the role of business and technology in these transitions to more sustainable futures, and narrowing in more specifically on forestry and timber industry. But I realized that I was very much taking a kind of large generic approach without grounding it specifically in the actions of people, as well as not considering I was too much in the weeds of human-centered design and not considering ecological design and what the environmental footprint and the impact of our actions, how all those things need to tie together in creating more sustainable futures. And then that will very much change not only how we might go about working within the existing systems and redesigning business models, designing technology, and then changing how we use and manage our uses of it. So that's been a really impactful change for me in the past year. And then there's a lot of questions coming around what's next and what is the work to be done and what's exciting. And so I think my questions really sit in that realm, and I don't want to get in the way of those.
Maybe for Marisol, how are you reconciling transition design theory in practice?
You gave me a difficult one. It's a very good question, and I think it's something that I've been pondering about daily. And I think, as Terry was saying before, this aspect of thinking of it as an approach and not a set of ingredients that one has to apply to a project, to make it qualify or not as a transition design project, which it like, are there transition design projects? Or that's a different question. In my research, my inquiry, because I don't necessarily see it as a project, I do take a lot of the transition design theory, and what I try to do is to weave it in with other types of approaches and other types of understanding experience. So, for instance, right now, I've been looking a lot into narrative inquiry and how narrative inquiry takes this approach of thinking of human experience in a temporal continuum, where you take the past, you take the present, you take what you might think possible futures are, but then you also take this aspect of what is my personal experience, and it doesn't happen in isolation, but it's this relational interaction or correspondence with the collective, and it's this back and forth. So I feel like those type of dimensions that, for instance, narrative and narrative inquiry brings to the transition design approach make it very rich. So I feel like I see each one of our own perspectives and ways of tackling what transition design means for us, like different ways of weaving this like approach with other areas like public policy or wisdom or business and technology. So I find that fascinating.
Thank you so much for that, Marisol. A question that I have for Terry and for Gideon, but I would love to tie it in with Erica's work, is what are you personally on the edge of learning right now? And I know Erica has been doing a lot of work with communities on the move and through her fellowship, really pushing this idea of abolition of citizenship, which I just find brilliant. So, yeah, are there ways that you're sort of learning new things, pushing new ideas at the moment?
It's a really good question. I feel like I'm on a steep learning curve all the time, which is good, I think. As you get older, you should be on a steep learning curve all the time. I think what I've been preoccupied with lately is the areas that are emerging on the near horizon that transition design needs to focus on. And I think the biggest now, and probably will remain, is stakeholder relations. You know, when we are mapping a wicked problem, we always say that, you know, of the five categories, you know, environmental issues, business and economic issues, infrastructural, science and technology issues, political issues, and then there's social issues, which is about what we think and how we act. I mean, we're at the root of most of the problems. So those social issues are so complex, and we often say that stakeholder relations are the connective tissue within a wicked problem. They're what keep it stuck. So I think we absolutely need to be looking for new methodologies and ways of empowering stakeholders within a system and addressing the uneven power dynamics among them. I think that is rich, rich territory for PhD students to be looking at.
One of the things we particularly tried to focus on in that most recent iteration of the transition design seminar and the workshops, as Terry indicated, was a much greater emphasis on power relations, power dynamics. We've been very influenced by the whole how universal and decolonial discussions. We were obviously very influenced by what was going on with Black Lives Matter, what's this going on. And for various reasons in the past, that kind of politics had been implicit, but not overt enough, not developed enough, not emphasized enough. And it's particularly important, yeah, that we begin to think about it much more clearly in the context of stakeholder relations area transition design. I've also been interested for a long time in this in the context of visions and featuring the concept of cosmopolitan localism, the idea of multi-scalar networking across regions and across the planet, multi-scalar networking of communities and cities. And so I'm particularly interested in seeing that develop a bit, and thinking about how cities can begin to, I mean, most of the wicked problems we look at focus on cities, and they are particularly problematic within cities, and cities are the nodal points, or should become the nodal transition points. So I'm particularly interested in how cities might take up the idea of transition, and how cities might network between themselves to do that.
Right. Thank you so much. It's really nice, like, to see both of your perspectives, very complementary. So we have one more question before we leave. We have been thinking, imagining who our listeners are. And so we have this little exercise that we would like you to go through, to think, to imagine, that our listeners are either potential PhD researchers in transition design or other types of collaborators within either the Transition Design Institute, which we didn't talk about, but we, I guess, had to have another episode to touch upon that, because I'm sure you have a lot of things to say about it. But based on the makeup of the program of all of us as PhD researchers, as it is today, and other either academics or practitioners that are working towards transitions, what are some key questions that are open for exploration today, or what are areas that are untapped?
Well, that's a great question to end on. Well, like I said, we would love to see some PhD researchers come and want to dig into stakeholder relations. You know, in particular, what are the tools and methodologies that can be employed on actual projects to address uneven power relations among them, to empower some groups while perhaps informing others who might be in power? But also, how do we grow the capacity within a system, whether it's an organization or a community that needs to transition? How do we empower the actors within that system so that they become the thread of continuity over the multiple decades it will take to transition toward the futures they want?
Another thing I've been thinking about since we had a conversation with one of the members of our transition design seminar, who's auditing the class, is actually a professor at Pitt who is in the law school. And she is aspiring to ignite systems level change within her discipline. And it's really got me thinking that we absolutely need people coming to this transition design PhD program from many different disciplines, but if they show up with a desire to actually ignite change within their discipline so that it's taught more systemically, so that it's taught, so that people in those disciplines understand how to bring their expertise to a system and how to collaborate with transdisciplinary folks to address and look at the problem or transition a community, that's a really interesting leverage point for change. Transitioning design, transitioning the law, transitioning policy, transitioning anthropology, or whatever it is. So I think people that come with an idea about their own expertise and background is a powerful place to be working in the future.
I came to think this as a result of trying to prepare a class in the transition design seminar on backcasting and milestone and backcasting transition pathways in order to help us navigate towards the future. And I think that creating viable pathways to the future is obviously incredibly important. And yet, there's really, as far as I can see, a handful of people are thinking about this aspect of futuring and transition design, transition sustainability.
Thank you both. Thank you everyone for participating in this, what we call the round table. But as a way to wrap, I thought, you know, considering that this is an emerging ecosystem of change in process, I'd love for us each to close with one phrase or word that really describes our ideas or contribution at the moment to this emerging field. So I'll just kick us off and hand it and then call on someone else, and whoever goes last, that'll be the last word. So I'll say primacy of motion. Sophia.
I think for me it's learning loops. Alex.
Mycorrhizal networks. Silvana.
Creativity for wisdom. Myself.
Becoming together. Gideon.
I'm going to steal Alex's. I like that one too much. I can't say it though. Mycorrhizal networks.
I'm always about connecting the dots.
Listening to our first episode of this exciting second season. Our next episodes will continue with our very own bilingual format that you're already used to.
You are listening to Designing Transition Podcast, brought to you by
Marisol Ortega,
Nandini Nair,
Erica Dorn,
Alex Polzin,
Silvana Juri,
Sofia Bosch Gomez, with the support of the School of Design at Carnegie Mellon University. The audio production was done by Kyle Levy. Thanks for joining us. Make sure to subscribe and follow us on Twitter or Instagram as we release new episodes. You can find us at @dintransition. We welcome direct messages about new guest suggestions, ideas, and comments. Until the next episode.